Thank you.
The recording has started.
Okay, it is 7 o'clock, this meeting of the San Leandro Human Services Commission. And as our first order of business, we need to stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance as per requirements. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call.
Chair Frye?
Present.
Vice Chair Oberg?
Present.
Commissioner Bailey? Absent. Commissioner Lim?
Here.
Commissioner O'Brien?
Here.
Commissioner Picado is excused. Commissioner Reed?
Here.
And Commissioner Roby, I will indicate as absent also for now. If they show up later, I will adjust that record.
Okay. I am hoping very much to receive a motion to amend the agenda and move 6A, Families United presentation, from its current position up to next on the docket.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
And that was Oberg and Lum? Yes, okay. Thank you.
So,
okay. Let me just pull that up.
It's all to you. And I don't have your name.
Dominique. Hi.
Welcome and thank you for coming.
Wherever you're comfortable, I'm happy to drive for you also. If you'd rather, you let me know what you like.
You can do it.
Okay, yeah, you just let me know when you're ready for the next screen. I'm going to put it in presentation mode. Is that okay for you? Okay, all right.
So good evening, everyone. My name is Dominique, and I apologize, I have allergies today. I'm the Executive Director of Families United. We are a nonprofit that is based here in downtown San Leandro. We serve the entire Alameda County. We also serve Contra Costa County, and we serve San Joaquin County as well. We work with families that have children and adults with developmental disabilities. We work with a lot of children with autism and Down syndrome, cerebral palsy. Those are a few of the more common diagnoses that we see. I'm here to introduce our Literacy and Kindergarten Readiness Project that we will be doing here in the city of San Leandro. So just a little bit about Families United. So we were founded in 2023. We actually were founded by a group of families that had children with developmental disabilities that were seeking a solution to more services for their children. Our co-founder, she is almost 80 years old. She has an adult daughter with Down syndrome. And one of the things that she was passionate about when we first formed Families United is that her daughter just turned 50 actually last month, and for the past 50 years, she's been struggling with getting services for her daughter and also helping other families with navigating the system, the disability system. She's very active in the community, and she was really excited about helping to form Families United because one of the things that she wanted to see is for more families to be empowered and to know how to navigate the system, how to access services for their children, and how to streamline service access. So as I said, we do have an office here in San Leandro. We have a navigation center in Stockton that we opened back in November. That was a community call from the regional center in Stockton. We also have a very diverse staff. Our staff speak an array of languages. Including Spanish, we have Arabic-speaking staff, Tagalog, Laotian, MAM, which is Guatemalan language, and ASL, sign language, as well. So we are committed to equity, advocacy, and access for all families. Our mission is to bridge service gaps by providing culturally competent and community-centered support for families. And our vision, we hope to see a more inclusive and empowered community where families, their children can thrive, whether they're adults or children. So some of our community partners, we do partner with school districts. We work with San Leandro Public Library, Regional Center of the East Bay, which is right around the corner, First Five and Four Seas of Alameda County, San Leandro Police Department, and a lot of our local businesses, and an array of volunteers from local colleges and high schools. So collaboration is very important to us. So our three main program pillars, number one is boosting language and literacy. So we want to make sure that children have those foundational skills from birth all the way through early childhood, which is around the age of five when children should be prepared for kindergarten. We want to make sure that parents and caregivers have the tools they need to support their family members, whether it be parents or grandparents that are caring for the children. And we want to make sure that our early care providers, such as home-based daycares, that they have the training and coaching also to prepare children for kindergarten. So the challenge that we saw here in the city of San Leandro, number one was a book desert, and this is for families that are underserved. So when we get families that live below the poverty line, they don't have access to getting library cards, they don't have access to purchasing books for their children. So this is one of the things our project hopes to bridge the gap. We hope to connect children with books. And with other resources to increase literacy before the child turns five, we're hoping that they can read. Language barriers is another challenge that we see. A lot of families, they're not able to access books in their own language, or they're not able to go to a read-along where they're offering, you know, the read-along in Spanish or in Arabic, for example. So we will be offering read-alongs in various languages as well. Limited childcare and preschool access. So in the state of California, preschool is actually not mandatory. Kindergarten is mandatory, but there's a lot of children that either, a lot of parents that either choose to keep their children home until they turn five and go to kindergarten, or there's a lot of parents that don't have the resources to send their kids to school. Daycares are very expensive, very expensive. And a lot of families, they can't afford it, even working class families, sending children to daycare for upwards of $1,000 a month. So most children, they stay home with their families until they turn five. And this prevents them from learning a lot of ABCs, but just kindergarten readiness. It prevents them from those concrete skills that you would learn if you were attending preschool. And then there's a lot of informal caregivers. We found there's a lot of families, especially grandparents, that are taking care of their grandchildren. And they're not equipped to provide early literacy to the children. So one of the things that we're developing now is actually a program for grandparents that are taking care of their grandchildren. So we're developing a specific program just for that right now. One thing that we found when we looked at the data is that only 50% of the children are actually kindergarten ready, which is not very good. So we're hoping to increase those numbers. And there's a high rate of child poverty in under-resourced neighborhoods. So part of our project, and you'll see later, we intend to go into those neighborhoods. Some of our events will take place in apartment lobbies. We want to bring the services to the families.
Do you want us to hold questions until the end?
You can ask questions anytime.
Is this data for San Leandro specific? Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
So why early literacy matters? So before children turn five, 90% of the brain development happens between the ages of 1 to 5. So language exposure during the ages of 1 to 5 is actually lifelong, and it's very important. By the time children go to the third grade, that's actually a huge milestone because studies say that third grade predicts graduation, literacy, employment, and health outcomes. So we want to make sure that children are confident and they have the tools necessary to be able to read and really comprehend and understand what they're reading before third grade. And then the equity gap. Children from low-income families, they hear up to 30 million fewer words and often lack access to books and quality early learning. So we want to make sure that we're investing in the children and that we're encouraging families to read to their children often when they're at home, which is why we want to make sure that when they go to our read-alongs, they leave with a book each time. And we're also putting together literacy books, packets, and training tools for the families so that we can close the gap. And just before we go on, I'm going to tell a quick story. So one of the reasons that we decided to apply for this grant, I have a four-year-old. He's going to be turning five this month, actually. And he went to preschool, did really well. But I actually created a curriculum for him for the summer because I wanted to make sure that he's ready for kindergarten in the fall. So I did this. I was going to do it with him regardless if we did the grant or not. And when I started reading the data for the city of San Leandro, that's when I saw that 50% of the children weren't ready for kindergarten. And I said, we don't need this for my child specifically. We need it for all of the children. So that's something that I was already really passionate about, but even more when I saw the data that there's so many children that actually really need this program. So the CAP-funded activities that we'll be doing here in the city of San Leandro, we will be doing weekly story times and book giveaways, and we will be flexible. We know that parents work, so weekdays are not always accommodating, so we'll be doing weekdays and weekends. We will have book giveaways. We will have monthly caregiver workshops. So we'll have workshops to teach parents the skills and the tools they need to continue what we're doing during our workshops and during our story time projects. We'll do quarterly developmental screening for children ages 1 to 3. And we will have professional development circles for family, friends, and neighbors. As well as biannual resource fairs. So we want to make sure that not only are families connected with the reading and literacy tools, but also any generic resources that's available in the community. So those resource fairs, we'll make sure that we get the information out to you, but it'll be a little bit of everything, anything that can benefit the families, whether it's WIC, whether it's in-home support services, City of San Leandro resources. We want to make sure that whatever is available to the families, that they're aware and they know how to access it. So our main priorities are community-driven priority. So we want to make sure that the program is shaped for families and including them in that process. So we're not just doing it for the families, but we want them to walk the journey with us, and we want them to be really active in our approach and our program planning as well. So we will be recruiting family members to come and assist us with some of the read-along events as well. So they feel a part of the community and a part of what we're doing. Language as well. So literacy is embedded in everyday spaces and not just classrooms. So we want to make sure that family home daycares, we're including them in this also. So we have some daycares that want to take their kids for a field trip to some of our story times. But we're doing these, and you'll see, I think I'm jumping ahead of the slides, but we're doing our read-alongs in our office here in downtown San Leandro, also at the library, but also at the parks. So we're going to do different parks because I found with my son, when we're out in the air, it's better. He seems to absorb the information a little bit better than being cooped up inside. And then what we're going to do with those is make it very hands-on. So if we're doing a book that's maybe talking about trees or science, we're going to incorporate, okay, let's go find a leaf, let's go find a pine cone. So we're going to make it really fun and concrete for the children, where we're also incorporating the environment around them. And then we're of course focused on equity. So we want to make sure that we're targeting the zip codes that are underserved and that have limited early access tools. So we're very rooted in the community. So our friends, families, and neighbors, we want to make sure that our community outreach is tailored to them and multilingual. So all of our materials, our workbooks, anything that we hand out will be in multiple languages. As I said earlier, we will be offering weekend, weekdays, and evening sessions to accommodate families that work. And then we'll have the take-home literacy kits with books, activities, and guides for the parents as well. So we want to make sure that the parents, they have everything they need at their disposal to, so that their children are successful. So our delivery settings, so our office, the library, also the family resource centers. We have one around the corner, family resource navigators, neighborhood parks. And then what we're doing is we're doing a pop-up oasis. So we're going to pop up different places around the city where we know that there's usually a lot of kids, and just kind of invite the families and the kids on the spot to come and join what we're doing as well. So our expected outcomes, so 1,000 books to 250 kids, 80 screenings, 12 workshops for families and caregivers. We're hoping to get an 85% or more satisfaction rating, and we will be having evaluations available after each event with incentives for families to actually fill them out. 10% boost in readiness scores, and we'll be doing 8 events, hopefully with more than 200 attendees. So a snapshot of our budget. So we got $35,000 for the 2 years, and that will go to personnel, books and literacy kits, community events, translations and evaluations. And then we're also, we're a nonprofit, we thrive off of donations also. So we've already started connecting with our community, and we have quite a few people that are donating books and different materials for the children in our program. So ways that you can help, you can tour our program. You can come to one of our read-alongs and see us in action. You can volunteer to come and read to the kids sometimes. Partner with us to expand impact. We really appreciate referrals. So if there's any children that you know that may enjoy the read-alongs or any of the activities, we would love for you to refer them to participate. Volunteering is always great. And then this is our QR code to our website to stay updated and to get on our listservs for events. So thank you so much for the time and for allowing us to present.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it.
Is there any
you.
Questions?
Do you have any business card with you tonight?
I do. I have brochures for you as well. Great. Yes.
They're passing them that way. There's probably going to be a surplus over there at the end. And Dominique, I had a question for you.
Thank you.
So the programs, like the story time and your events, is for your specific target audience, or is this for anyone who is interested?
We're targeting our specific target audience, but we don't turn any kids away. So anyone that wants to participate is more than welcome to participate as well.
Okay, great. Yeah.
And I don't know if I covered it, but just a little bit about our organization. So besides this project that we're doing, we also provide one-to-one navigation service. So families that need help navigating the system, let's say they have a child that may have a developmental disability and they're not sure, we do developmental screenings, and we also do evaluations. We do assistance with Regional Center of the East Bay intake as well. Mm-hmm. Right now, their intake process is extremely long. Mm-hmm. If a family were to go and apply on their own, they would wait like probably more than a year. So with us, we do have a liaison at Regional Center that we assist families. So we assist with obtaining a diagnosis, we assist with application intake, and we follow them through the process. And then we give a warm handoff once they get, you know, to the intake, to the end of it. But we also assist with navigating other services such as IHSS. So we assist with applications for that. We have counselors that will actually go and sit for home visits to make sure that the families are just feeling confident, because it's kind of nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. We assist
with WIC. We assist with IEP support. We do have an IEP specialist that will go to IEP meetings with families and advocate for them and make them feel more empowered. But also we do a lot of workshops on IEP training as well, because we hopefully, the goal is that we don't have to go to every single meeting with families, that they feel empowered enough and they learn enough to advocate on their own. We do a lot. we serve adults also. So we serve from birth through the lifespan. So there's a lot of parents that they wonder what's going to happen to their child when they turn 18, when they become adults. So we want to make sure that those parents, they're aware of what services are available to their adult children as well.
That's awesome.
So that's just a little overview. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for
thank
your
you,
time.
Dominique.
Thank you.
I've Thank you, Dominique. Had the pleasure of touring the site. It's really awesome. If the commission was interested, could we conduct a site visit?
Yes,
and
course.
I could coordinate with you,
yes.
Follow up with you.
Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You so much.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Have a good night. Okay. Back into order. Order of business. Are there any announcements?
I don't have any announcements.
I don't have any announcements. consent calendar, April minutes. Anybody?
I can pull them up if needed too.
Did everybody have a chance to look at them?
Yeah. Motion to approve the minutes.
I second.
All approve. All in favor.
And that was motion by Vice Chair Ellberg and Commissioner Bailey?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yes.
So
apologies
we
for being late.
We have adopted our April minutes.
Okay, great.
Moving on, am I supposed to ask for public comments somewhere in here? Oh, that's down there. It's lower.
Yeah.
city staff reports and announcements. Llewellyn Interim Housing and Drop-In Center updates. That is a mouthful.
Yes. Thank you. I don't know if anyone had a chance. I know Mo said to go to the open house on Friday, last Friday. Okay.
I saw
oh, great. Wonderful.
Work hours.
I know.
I'd like to get over there sometime.
Well, I made it over there briefly, and I snapped some quick photos, so I thought I would just share them really quickly with the commission. Yeah, I just figured. I know it's not the most convenient time. I also needs to work for the folks who live there, right?
Right.
And I will say I got a chance. I think, Mo, you probably went to before they renovated. Were you with her?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
My husband was.
Oh, okay. And it is like night and day. It's such a great space now. They really have brought it to life. This is just an example of one of the bedrooms that is unoccupied. And I should have taken this landscape, but the rooms are actually very large.
Yeah.
You can fit a desk. You could fit a dining table. There's like a closet space, the restroom, right? And not all the rooms have the queen size bed. Some of them are twin size beds. So it could be more accommodating for other folks who may have more stuff. This I thought was really nice. This is going to be the drop-in center, the drop-in shelter. So it's not just the supportive housing, but there's going to be a space where folks could just drop in for the day for respite. And so this is where they can be received, where they can, you know, touch base with their housing or case manager for any sort of resources that they may need, get some food. There's around the corner from here, there's desks with computers where they could access the internet, you know, fill out any kind of job applications they may be, you know, interested in, browse the internet for it, whatever reason, charge their phones.
Take a shower.
Yeah.
Do their laundry.
Right outside of, where's the photo? These aren't in order. Here we go.
Right there.
There it is. Literally, right outside of the drop-in center is this portable shower unit that I'm so excited we are finally using. I think we bought it in 2019.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Because we had heat funds. They were county funds that we had to spend in it was weeks. And we were like, we have to spend this money or else we were going to lose it. We're not losing anything. Mm-hmm. So we bought this with the goal of, you know, using it one day. And 6 years later, finally, it's really cool. It has three showers and then two washers, two dryers, which thank you for confirming. I ordered this. I didn't remember.
You've slept since then.
So I'm so glad now it has a place to live, and it sounds like you're going to be training staff on how to operate it.
I sent them a list of how we handle April showers and what you get when you come in to shower. You get a towel, you get a packet that's got a washcloth and soap and shampoo. You've got a choice. Do you use hair conditioner? Take some. Do you use skin cream? Take some. You need a razor? Take one. But it's not like just, here, take it all, because people go, I don't use this, I don't use that. Yeah, so right. Then my suggestion is they wash towels twice a day.
Oh, okay.
Hold showers from 9:30 to noon, then open, because they're going to serve lunch.
Yes.
So throw a couple of loads of towels in to wash and dry, and then reopen the showers at 1:15 or 1.
Yeah, and in addition to these washers and dryers in here, this is not the best photo. I was also trying to be respectful of people who were on site, but around the corner from this, there's even more units of washers and dryers. So currently, Building Futures every Wednesday host laundry hours at a local laundromat here, but they're going to be able to move to this site, which is so much better because you're not just getting showers. I'm sorry, you're not just doing laundry now. You also can take a shower while your laundry's being done or access food and whatnot at the drop-in center. So I believe next month?
Mid-June,
okay, is when they'll transition from that laundromat over to the Lowelling Interim Housing and Drop-In Center. And I skipped over this other photo. Right here you can see a bit, but right before the showers, there's a really nice patio, shaded patio area. And in this other photo, you can see it was just completely, the paint job just really, really was really needed. There's a lot of outdoor space for folks, and one of the bedrooms that was open that was occupied, but we were able to take a peek inside. They allow pets, so I could tell there was like a dog bed, and it was so nice to see. And on top of sharing these photos, I actually have some really nice success stories that I was hoping I could share with the commission quickly. Some of the first residents have already moved into permanent housing. Just weeks after the Lowelling Interim Housing Center opened, a couple who had experienced long-term homelessness for 6 years for one of the partners and 12 years for the other moved into permanent housing. They were the first residents to transition out of the program, showing how quickly stability and support can lead to real change, which when you're doing outreach, you're only touching base with folks when you find them, right? When you come across them, right? If their encampment hasn't been removed, right? And they've lost all of the paperwork that they work so hard to obtain. But when you have folks who have stability, where you can frequently find them as you need to, the process is just so much easier. Another story that was the first move out. And the job placement. These are Jessica wanted me to share two specific stories. One client who had been unhoused for 4 years landed a job within 2 to 3 weeks of arriving at Lowelling. A safe place to sleep, access to showers and clean clothes helped them regain the stability needed to re-enter the workforce. So just wanted to make sure I shared, because I know that this has been a long time coming. Really cool that we have this resource here in San Leandro. There will be a more thorough update. I just because the open house happened and I happened to be able to collect this, I wanted to bring it to the commission.
Are these stories that will be shared publicly? I mean, minus names or details of people?
Yeah, my understanding is that there's going to be a mass mailer going out to make sure that the community knows like where our investment has landed us.
Yeah. And I think a lot of those things will end up on the Building Futures website.
I hope so, yeah.
It's you know, there, I have heard from people who have said, well, if you don't have a time limit for keeping people or telling them they have to go, then they'll just stay there forever. And it's like, no, right. They won't.
They won't. There was another story, a client who had been homeless for 20 years, came to Llewellyn with untreated wounds. With daily showers, a place to rest, and regular meals, they've been able to begin their healing journey. I mean, it's just, it's incredible what's being done here in our city. We should be very proud.
And Building Futures has been
yes.
just a driving force. In 2015, I believe, Liz, without really even telling anybody, applied for Shelter Care Plus vouchers, which stay with the program. So she got 25 of them, and they're still in play with the program. So if you are placed permanently in housing and then say, you know what, I'm moving back with my mother in Minnesota, wherever, that apartment, that dwelling space is open for the next person, and there's a voucher to cover it. And I mean, you know, I could just tell you stories all day long, but we had a kid, he was a kid to me, but he had cancer. He and his elderly mother were living down on the railroad tracks, and he could not get chemo because they won't give chemo to people who don't have a home. You have no immune system, you're going to die anyway. And they were able to get him into shelter with his mother, and he did last 18 months. He had a prognosis of about 8 weeks. That's what it was before he got housed, and he stayed for 18 months. So they do great work.
Thank you for sharing that. Any questions for me in the meantime? I'll do my best.
You know, I was really impressed with what they did with the unit. The only drawback was that they don't accommodate families. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was meant to be for adults, but, you know, I guess we need to do something for families too, because not all families have, like, they can't stay at the Building Futures location. They're not battered. Mm-hmm.
That's been a very difficult thing throughout the county. There are a couple of programs that will accept intact families.
They said they do referrals, but still, you know.
Well, Salvation Army in Hayward will accept you into the program as an intact family, and there are a couple of others, but they are few and far between.
Go to the next slide real quick.
Oh, yeah. The laundry? No, the shower unit.
It still says Nimitz Hotel up there.
Yeah, it does.
On the sign.
I'm sure they didn't want to spend any of the limited dollars on removing it.
Yeah. And we asked about that. They said that they never got around to moving. I said, you know, it's really easy to put an insert because all it is one of those signs with the frame, and then you have inserts on either side with the lights inside. The plastic things are cheap.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they want to advertise though from the freeway.
Well, you don't have to. It just says Nimitz Hotel. Yeah. I mean, they can take it out and put something
else. They probably
don't
want to advertise the Nimitz Hotel because people coming off the freeway. Yeah.
It is gated, which you both saw. It is gated so not anyone could just drive into it, right? Yeah. And the office space, I don't know if you had a chance to tour the office space. I was blown away. It's very accommodating, so that it will always be very well staffed, so that the folks who do live here or who are coming into the drop-in center always have access to resources, which I thought was really great.
What are the hours for the drop-in center?
9 to 4, Monday to Friday.
Okay, thank you.
At one point at April Showers, we had had this vision that this was going to take care of everything. And I think it's going to change April Showers a little bit, but we're not going to give up our Sundays and go home and watch football.
Yeah. And this is only Monday through Friday, right? So I think, and also you, how many folks come?
We've been seeing 75 to 85, and half of those are for food, more than half of them, just for food.
Is there a transportation resource that they can call to get to the drop-in center?
So we've been discussing that a lot lately. We were trying to figure out, because we don't, right now we don't have, but you can contact Davis Street Family Resource Center, and they we do fund them also for basic needs, and they give out bus passes. They can fund, what are those, on-demand rides. They, it is a small pot of funds, so we try, they try and, you know, you use them on a limited basis. I don't think it would be for a regular ride to that center. We would try to see if maybe the links, you know, the free shuttle extended that way, but it does not go into that area specifically. But I've suggested to see if maybe the route can be adjusted. So we are looking into some options right now to see how it can be accommodated. I will say, though, that the location, as it is very close to a lot of our unhoused population. It's prime location.
That's great. But I don't know if anybody here has taken a bus lately. To get on to go from here out to Bethel at 143rd is $2.50 if the fare doesn't go up. That's, I mean, a lot of folks got used to riding the bus during COVID, because you just got on, got off, and not anymore. You need to have a ticket, and they're expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions, since I've made all the comments? Okay. Look forward to hearing more updates. Moving to 4B, Cherry Festival Parade Participation.
So I just wanted to make like a last call. If you are interested, please let me know by the end of this week, because it's next, not this weekend, it's next weekend. Commissioner Roby will be participating. And I, because he's participating, I was able to get more information on what that's going to be like. And so I thought it'd be a good chance to let everybody know how that's going to work. They have a theme for the Flex Shuttle through the decades. So participants have the option to dress up according to their chosen decade. They will be decorating the Flex Shuttle bus the Friday afternoon before. So if you're interested in also participating in that, please let me know. I'll get you connected to get those logistics. For the morning of the parade, they're going to meet at the staging area around 9 a.m. And then during the parade, participants will have the option to either ride the Flex Shuttle for the entire duration of the parade, or also take a shift walking along the shuttle to hand out some swag that we have ordered. It sounds like Ghirardelli chocolates and Flex swag. And if you need any assistance with transportation to and from the parade, we can also accommodate for that. So just shoot me an email if you are interested, and I will get you connected with our senior center staff who are coordinating that. That's all I have for the Cherry Parade.
Okay. Public comments?
And no e-comments either.
No e-comments. Anybody out there want to talk? presentations. We moved that back up and made it item 2. So action items. Do we have any action items? I don't know. Does anybody want to dance? commission reports and announcements. I got nothing.
Same.
Wrong room. I will.
yes. Commissioner Reed.
No, I gave everybody flyers for our backpack drive. We're doing real, real well with our funding. Going to be at San Leandro High School, and we're going to take over the side parking lot. If you've ever been up there, it's the big long parking lot. It's like 500 yards long up there. We have 21 community agencies committed to come be there. Alameda County Health, County Nutrition, WIC, First Five, CalFresh, The list goes on. SLPD, the fire department's going to be there. They're going to have the fire truck there and hand out stuff to all the kids. And so we got a lot of agencies that have committed to come. Arlene over here has got us a whole bunch of five groups to come. And like she was speaking, the language barrier is tough, you know. And so we're recruiting a lot of, you know, you see we have an English and Spanish. Recruiting a lot of Spanish-speaking people. Arlene's going to bring some folks that are, you know, can speak their language that they speak. And so it's going to be a good community project. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of people there. We're giving away 2,000 backpacks times mom and dad and kid. That's what, 6,000 people or whatever. I hope they'll all show up. I hope just mom and a kid shows up, you know. So we're looking at, you know, 4,000 people or so. So we'll, having all the community agencies there is a good way for everybody to get, reach out, and they can reach out and see, you know, sometimes that's the big problem is they don't know that these agencies exist. And I'm going to contact this lady, this young lady right here.
I've seen that. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, to come. And I'm sure no one knows about them in San Andrew yet. And so it'd be a great opportunity for them to throw up a booth and stand there and hand out flyers to everybody and talk to people in person. And that's kind of, you know, the format we like. We did it the first time we did it in Meeks State over in San Leandro over in, or San Lorenzo over there. And we had, it was a great day. I mean, we even had Hayward Animal Shelter come. They brought a big deal of kittens. Everybody got to pit the kittens and all the fun stuff, you know. And they were handing out free dog food and cat food to everybody, nice. Which I thought was crazy. But you don't think about that when, you know, we think about the homeless person, but a lot of times they have pets with them.
It's a really big need.
It's something that you don't think about, you know, until someone presents it to you and you go, wow, you know, you're kind of blown away at that. But yeah, it's going to be a great day. We're still a couple of months out, so we're doing real well.
Great.
But if anybody wants to come and volunteer and hand out backpacks, you know, more bodies, the better. I mean, it takes some time. We'll be there 3 or 4 hours, I mean, at least, to be handing out 2,000 backpacks. Because it comes with a backpack, school supplies, a 1-inch binder. It's going to come with a science kit, you know, and then other school supplies, you know, pens, pencils, all kind of stuff. It's all going to be all handed out to everybody, and it takes time. And then World Books is going to be there. They're going to hand out free books and to the kids in, like, out of multiple languages. Great. Be able to all the kids. And they get, so it's going to be a fun day.
Do families sign up in advance for a backpack?
No.
No. Okay.
I've never first come, first served. Yeah, I'd never say no to a kid who needs a backpack. I don't care what city you're from or where you're from. It doesn't matter. I'll give you a backpack, you know, and that's always been our dream. We'll track sometimes, you know, hey, what city you're from? Just for our own general knowledge as to we learn from that. Mm-hmm. But with the kids, I don't care if you're in kindergarten or we've had college kids show up.
Sure.
And say, you know, I'm from Cal State. I'm living in my car. You know, I need stuff for school, you know, and it's like, hey, no problem, man. We'll hook you up, you know. And so we try to do what we can, you know, in our little niche. But that's it.
That's great. Quick question. Does the event run to 4 even if you run out of backpacks before then? Or does it usually, like, end when the backpacks end?
Well, if all the county agencies are still there, they can be there until,
oh, okay.
You know. Yeah, we'll be there. We're going to have some food trucks there.
Oh, nice.
It'll be a good day. It'll be a big day.
Great.
You know,
thank you.
For everybody. And, you know, San Leandro High School, I talked to the principal, and she was, you know, really amazed and blown away. This is, you know, we're going to take over her parking lot, you know, for that day. And it's in July, so the school isn't actually there. You know, the school's, there's nobody there. And so she's already rounding up her people to come and help. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it takes a lot of people, a lot of manpower to mobilize, you know, the trucks and the unloading and all that kind of stuff. So that's the end of my report. I'm done.
Sorry, I did think of an announcement.
if I can do my comment.
Yes.
Great. Cacher Valley Pride, which is obviously adjacent, is coming up, but it's also a community resource fair that whole day, which is going to be Saturday, July 19th. I believe it starts at noon. I always volunteer, so I'm there at like 6 a.m. I don't actually know when it starts, but I can send Elsa the details to send out in case that would be helpful for anyone. And they're also doing a free Pride flag giveaway on Saturday, June 7th. So, and there will be multiple types of Pride flags that folks can pick up. And it's just if anyone wants to make a donation, they can, but that's a free community resource. So,
If anybody does run into people that need dog or cat food, the San Leandro Community Food Pantry gives away kibble, cat and dog, the second and fourth Thursdays of the month from 6 to 8. As part of the pantry, and the food is all donated by Oakland SPCA. SPCA of the East Bay in Oakland on Baldwin. Yeah. And they gave out food during COVID for folks and then said, you know, we're better at taking care of animals than handling this. And you give out food, so here, take it. So we go down and pick up, you know, 800 pounds of animal food every 2 weeks.
Wow, that's cool.
There is a group of developmentally disabled adults who come in the day after that and bag everything up and label it for us.
That's nice.
A brighter day comes in.
A brighter day. Okay. That's awesome. Thank you.
So that's it.
Yeah, that was something that a lot of seniors enrolled in Meals on Wheels like needed assistance with was we found out many of them were sharing their meals with their pets. So we want to make sure those meals are going to the seniors and their pets are also getting nutrition.
Is there a problem with sharing your meal with your pet? Oh, no. I'm sorry. I would not feed any of my animals what I eat. They get better food than I do.
I have heard on many occasions those meals are larger than one senior will eat in a sitting. But, you know, that is a nutritionally balanced meal. So hopefully they get to it throughout the day.
Okay, anything else anybody would like to bring for the good of the cause? Okay. I'd entertain a motion for adjournment. Anybody want to
move?
And second it, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
8:48.
I heard O'Brien first.
Okay. No. O'Brien, motion, and Lum seconded.
Second.
And I'm sorry, which time did you say?
7:48.
7:48.
I might have said 8:48, but I didn't mean it.
Thank you.